Hi, good Vach, or more to say, good Moed. It is the middle of Pesach. Tonight is the sixth night of Pesach, the fourth day of Chol Moed, and I have not counted it yet, but last night was the fourth night of the Omer, so hopefully you're keeping track of that. So yes, we are working our way through Pesach, and, you know, counting also towards Shavuos, you know, the beginning of the calendrical year and Nisan, etc. Hope all of you are doing really well. Yeah, let's move along. As you know, towards the end days of Pesach, we focus a lot on the end of the Yetziat Mitzrayim process, which is largely about what takes place in Parshat Beshalach, with, you know, the Kriyas Yamsuf and a lot of the other Nisim and the Flaos, wonders, the miracles that take place during that time. Now, towards the beginning of Perek Yedal in Parshat Beshalach, Hashem tells Moshe, V'chizakta, V'chizakti et leiv paro, V'radaf acharehem, V'ikavta v'paro, V'choche lo v'yadu, Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem. And I will harden Paro's heart, which is, again, a topic of a lot of debate, and he will chase after them, and I will be glorified through Paro and his entire army, and Mitzrayim will know that I am Hashem. What does it mean that Mitzrayim will know who Hashem is? Or what Hashem is. Surely they must already know. They just, you know, they just had 10 plagues, which, you know, we teach had many different dimensions and went on for a while. So, you know, and Bnei Israel just robbed them of their wealth. I mean, it's very, very clear that they know what or who Hashem is. So perhaps it means to the full extent that Hashem actually punishes measure for measure and metes out judgment in a very particular way. But if so, if that's the case, then the name Elohim should be used. Instead, we have the four-letter name of Hashem, the Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, which in fact connotes the bestowal of kindness, chesed, or rachamim, mercy. Why is this? So Chazal teach that at Kriyas Yamsuf, the angels cried out, why are you saving the Jews? Why are you saving the Jews over the Mitzrayim? They're both idol worshippers. They're both Avodei Avodah Zarah. Hashem replies that they are, in fact, his chosen nation, and he made a promise to Avram Avinu that he must keep. Furthermore, Bnei Israel made a distinction on their own when they, in fact, shunned the Egyptian god, which was the sheep, and smeared it upon the doorposts, pledging allegiance to Hashem alone. However, did Bnei Israel have enough merit just with this mitzvah to save them in such a miraculous fashion, with wonders upon wonders, whereby Egyptians were killed and the Jews were all brought in glorious fashion for the world to see? And this is perhaps what it means that Mitzrayim would know who Hashem was, specifically the Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. Right, the name that signifies the attributes of kindness and mercy. The Egyptians clearly understood the God that punishes. They've already experienced 10 very intense and very different makot. Right, Bnei Israel on their own merits did not merit such a salvation, and the Mitzrim possibly realized this. That, you know, they may have seen, unfortunately, some of the depravity which some of the Jews may have taken part in, and when they were in Mitzrayim, certainly in the earlier years, but Hashem made it clear that the Jews were destined to be Hashem's people. Hashem, out of the kindness and his promises to our forefathers, took us out in grandeur, in a beautiful way, to show his love for us, and that he set a special place for us in this world. And all that occurred was not simply due to the Egyptians' wickedness. It was not just punitive, right? It was out of an intense love and promise to the Jewish people. And Chazal also teaches that Hashem informed Abraham that the Jews would be in Mitzrayim for 400 years, but were actually only in Mitzrayim for 210. And out of Hashem's kindness, he increased our workload and suffering so that we got the 400 years of slavery and exile in only 210 years. And in fact, it wasn't even 210 years because it didn't start until the Shvatim, the tribes, the brothers, the 12 brothers, all passed away. So it was actually less than 210 years. So it was a big, big amount of rachem, a big amount of mercy. So it may not have seemed like it at the time, but it really was a true chesed, because Bnei Yisrael over time was slipping away from the roots and would have become completely assimilated into Mitzrayim had not Hashem intervened. Now, in some years, the eighth day of Pesach can fall out on Shabbos. This year, the eighth day of Pesach falls out after Shabbos, the seventh day falls out on Shabbos. But it's interesting that either way, whether it's Moshe Shabbos or on Shabbos, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you're going to have a different mindset. Pesach is only truly 7 days, not eight. So if you have, for example, in a year, not like this year, but if you have a year where Pesach goes straight into Shabbos, then they actually would have 8 days, right? In this case, the eighth day, this year, the eighth day is Isru Chag. It's the day after the Chag where you still kind of have somewhat of a carryover. Now, the eighth day of Pesach, even in Eretz Yisrael, functions much like Shemini Atzeret. right? It is the eighth day of a seven chag that is both connected and distinct at the same time, right? We observe it as the eighth, but the eighth day in Eretz Yisrael is much like a weekday, but it still carries over some of that Pesach identity, and certainly we're going to be, you know, going all the way, we're looking ahead towards Shavuos. Now, the concept of the number eight represents the supernal, the going beyond past nature. Now, we see this reach a climax when Bnei Yisrael experiences the full mitzvah, the full miracles of Kriyas Yamsuf, which is when they begin to sing. And the Torah writes, Az Yashir, Aleph Zayin, right? That's how Az is spelled. It's connecting the Aleph to the Zayin, or in other words, connecting the one to the seven. And this can be seen as connecting the full knowledge of Hashem's mastery, which is the Aleph, over nature, which is symbolized by Zayin. Right, but it can also be symbolized the added components of adding the Aleph to the Zayin, which is adding one more to the seven, which is to make eight. Or in this, or if you don't want to look at it as eight, it could be a carryover towards the 50 for Shavuos in order to have true miracles. Now, it's interesting that Shemini Atzeret is in fact the 22nd day of Tishrei, and so too, in a certain sense, the eighth day of Pesach would be the. I mean, we're going to call it the eighth day of Pesach, would be referred to as the 22nd day of Nisan. Now, the alphabet has 22 letters, and that makes the 22nd day correspond to the letter Tav, which is something I've spoken about numerous times, specifically in the month of Tishrei, how all 22 days of Tishrei from Rosh Hashanah to Shemini Atzeret correspond to the 22 letters of the alphabet. But there's some truth to that in Nisan as well, especially since we know that the other Rosh Hashanah that we have is, in fact, for the Jewish people, starting from the month of Nisan, right? Now, this letter Tav, which is the 22nd letter of the alphabet, which, interestingly enough, by the way, also corresponds to 400, which is the amount of time that, the amount of slavery or the years of slavery they were supposed to be, subject to, right? This letter of Tav represents, or Saf, as some people might say, represents totality. On the night and early morning of the 21st day of Nisan, Bnei Israel crossed the Yom Suf and sang to Hashem from an intense level of prophecy. But as they did not achieve this clarity until the middle of the 21st day, in which they began to sing. And the Torah writes, Az Yashir Moshe Ubnei Israel. Then Az did Moshe sing Ubnei Israel. The words Moshe Ubnei Israel are numerically equal to Yom Chaf Bet Bechodesh HaRishon. In this case, referring to the first month as Nisan, day 22 of the first month, right? On the special day of Yisroch, which was the first day where they could clearly wake up and anticipate it, right? They crossed on the 21st, they started to sing it on the 21st, and they really, really felt it on the 22nd. This kind of this end day that's kind of like, which is kind of like both Pesach and not Pesach for those in Eretz Yisrael, and even the last day, in Chutz Laaretz, everywhere else, but, you know, of course, for the people who don't eat Gebrucks on Pesach, many of them eat Gebrucks on the eighth day. There's something a little bit different about this eighth day, right? Even in Eretz Yisrael, there's some kind of hangover, as I mentioned, right? You get to reflect. You get to look at how the Aleph connects to the Zion, this extra one clinging on to the seven. The special day of Isru Chag, which is what we call the day after the Chag, which is the day after Pesach, right? Which in this year is Motzi Shabbos, and some years is Shabbos, and some years is a weekday. We have just experienced this totality of Yetziat Mitzrayim, and we know all of the miracles that Hashem has done for us and will continue to do for us. We've been able to go past the Zion. We've seen how Hashem can completely transcend nature, which is Zion. And what's the letter that comes after Zion? It's Chet, or eight and number eight, right? Which is the same as Aleph plus Zion, which is also eight. Then we can know Hashem, just as the Mitzrim started to know Hashem, and certainly Bnei Yisrael finally could witness the amazing clarity, as they say, even the slaves and the maidservants could contemplate amazing, amazing levels of prophecy that almost nobody else could ever achieve, right? They were able to clearly know Hashem, not just as Elohim who punished the Egyptians, and not just one who did measure for measure, but who had this amazing chesed, this amazing rachamim. And, you know, he was not just the God of judgment, but specifically the essence of Hashem's name, the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the God of love and kindness, and the one who cherishes us, and the one who always promises to have us as his nation. Chag Sameach and Shabbat Shalom.